Bless God. Hallelujah. Isn't it good to be a child of the Most High?
Yes.
Amen. To know Him whom to know aright is life eternal. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad we know Him aright? Oh, Father, tonight we're so thankful. Because we recognize and know as we think back, Lord, that it was not by any works that we did. It was not by any goodness in ourselves. It was not even by our hungry hearts that brought us to You, but it was by Your love that You reached out and found us and brought us in and eventually gave us that hunger that caused us to yield to You and surrender to You. How thankful we are, Lord. And as we're finishing this wonderful book, this book of the revelation of Yeshua, and recognizing the power that's in the name of Jesus and all that You've done for us, Lord, as we finish this, and recognize all that's in store for us. Oh, Master, we just are amazed. We just are astounded. What a wonderful, awesome thought that we're going to spend eternity with You. And all of the things that have worn on us in this life, and all of those things that seem like they took so long, we're going to begin to see them through the eyes of eternity and recognize that just a few breaths that we drew here were difficult and hard. And what lays in store for us, as You said, eyes have not seen nor ears heard. Neither hath entered into the heart of man the things that God hath prepared for them that love Him. But He is revealing them unto us by His Spirit. Oh, we thank You, Father. Thank You for Your word tonight. We just choose to let it come in and stir us up and excite us. And Lord, not just the good things for us, but the recognition of how important it is that people come to know Jesus and that they make Him the Lord of their lives, and recognizing that, as the Word says, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. And so today and tonight, Father, we just thank You that Your love is working in us, the love that's shed abroad in our hearts toward You, but toward everyone else, Lord. You so love the world and we so love. We thank You and praise You tonight. We thank You for teaching us and guiding us. Holy Spirit, be our teacher. Show us the right way. Show us how things really are. Explain to us not only the truth of those things that we always see, but Lord, those hidden things, those things that we haven't noticed before, show them to us, we pray. And we'll thank You for it and praise You for it. In the wonderful name, Yeshua. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord forever. Hallelujah. 22 chapters in the book of Revelation, and we're on the 22nd one. Taking quite a while to get there. And I was just thinking, if I'm not mistaken, we've been 3 weeks in a row that we've met here, isn't it now? We haven't missed a week in three, have we?
That's a miracle.
Tell you what. Remember how we said in Revelation there's things happen in threes? Well, here we are. We got together three times in a row without having the snow or the wind hold us out. So praise God. Hallelujah. How many verses we got in this chapter?
21.
Let's just do three readers tonight of seven each. How's that? And John, let's start with you. And Kim, with you. And John, with you. We'll just go 3, 3, or 7, 7, 7. How's that?
Then He showed me a river of the water of life, clear as crystal, coming from the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the middle of its street, on either side of the river, was the tree of life, bearing 12 kinds of fruit, yielding its fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. There will no longer be any curse, and the throne of God and of the Lamb will be in it, and His bondservants will serve Him. They will see His face, and His name will be on their foreheads. And there will no longer be any night, and they will not have the need of a light, the light of a lamp or the light of a sun, because the Lord God will illumine them. And they will reign forever and ever. And He said to me, "These words are faithful and true." And the Lord, the God of the Spirit, the God of the spirits of the prophets, sent His angel to show to His bondservants the things which must soon take place. And behold, I am coming quickly. Blessed is he who heeds the words of the prophecy of this book.
Now I, John, saw and heard these things. And when I heard and saw, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel who showed me these things. Then he said to me, "See that you do not do that, for I am your fellow servant, and of your brethren the prophets, and of those who keep the words of this book. worship God. And he said to me, do not seal the words of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. He who is unjust, let him be unjust still. He who is filthy, let him be filthy still. He who is righteous, let him be righteous still. He who is holy, let him be holy still. And behold, I'm coming quickly, and my reward is with me, to give to everyone according to his work. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are those who do his commandments, that they may have the right to the tree of life, and may enter in through the gates into the cities.
For without are dogs, and sorcerers, and whoremongers, and murderers, and idolaters, and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, and the bright and morning star. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book, if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life, and out of the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book. He which testifieth these things saith, surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, let's back up to verse 1, and let's talk about this a little bit. What is going on here? My little Bible doesn't want to back up tonight. There we go. Maybe there's something ahead. He showed me a pure river of the water of life, clear as crystal. Now we know, we've talked about this. This is where Maim Haim comes from. Maim Haim. And that clear as crystal. But where does it come from?
From the throne.
From the throne of God and of the Lamb. So my question is, does it really come out of a physical throne, or does it come right out of God?
Comes out of God. It's his spirit.
Yeah.
I believe it is too. I believe it has to do with the actual water of life that comes right from God, right out of the Father and the Son. And it proceeds. Now that we remember last week, we looked at the picture in Ezekiel 47. And look at that again tonight a little bit here. There we go. I started to read this and he brought me to the back door of the temple, but it doesn't say that. It says he brought me back to the door of the temple. This is Ezekiel 47:1. Mm-hmm. So which side of the temple would that be on? It tells you right here. Back to the door of the temple, and there was water flowing from under the threshold. Flows under the threshold of the temple toward the east. So it's on the east side. When you think of the temple, always remember the temple faces toward the east. The temple of God faces toward the east. It's funny because when I see it in Jerusalem in my mind, I don't see it that way necessarily. And I think maybe it's because the Wailing Wall, I believe, is approached from the west. But the Wailing Wall is really, in fact, in my mind, there's even a question whether it was part of the temple or not. And the reason is because you remember what Yeshua said? There shall not one stone be left that shall not be thrown down. And so I've always questioned that, but there seem to be a lot of people that definitely feel that it is. But nevertheless, the temple of God faces toward the east.
Which would be, where's the sun rise?
In the east.
And
the
what
east.
Is the scripture that says, and the sun, I always thought it was S-O-N, and then I looked and it's S-U-N,
S-U-N of righteousness.
With healing in his wings.
Yeah,
the sun of righteousness. So it's that light.
Yeah. The tent of meeting in the desert, it faced east too.
What?
The tent of meeting when they first built it in
That's
the
right.
desert.
That's right.
Faced east also.
And I'm convinced, that when Solomon came time for him to build, why he obviously would have patterned it along that way. Mm-hmm. And remembering that we've got the tribes apportioned around the sides that we saw last week. But there's water flowing from under. Now this is a different temple. This is, I believe, a millennial reign temple. This is built during the 1,000-year reign, and Ezekiel saw this. And Ezekiel got the same kind of thing that John did about measuring. You know, the reed in his hand and measuring the temple and all of that. And he had all of that. But now the temple's built, and there's water flowing from the front of the temple under the right side of the temple, south of the altar, which would mean that it would be on the outside wall, as I would see it, because if I recollect right, as you would go in from the east into the temple, on your left would be where the altar would be, and that would be on the south. And then it's on the south side of that, but that water comes out across and through the threshold, must be in the threshold of the tent of meeting, unless it comes under the threshold from the Holy of Holies. In that area, which there is no threshold that we know, there's no door, is there? But it could. Now, there. I say that, but when Yeshua died, what happened?
The veil was rent.
Yeah,
from
the
top to bottom.
Yeah, that's right. The kapora was rent, and therefore we find the, you know, we can just try to visualize it, but water. The same kind of thing we see now in this temple that is in heaven. Remember that everything in heaven is mirrored on earth. God mirrors it on here. And you'll see some of these things of not only the actual mirroring, but you also see the counterfeit mirroring that Satan tries to bring in every case. And when you begin to see that, then you begin to see some other little secrets that come out of this thing about how things happen. But the water's flowing out of the side of the temple, south of the altar, and he brought me out by the way of the north gate and led me around on the outside of the outer gateway. So in other words, after he saw this water, he went out the north side of the temple and came around to the front, and there was the water running out of the right side. And when the man went out to the east with the line in his hand, he measured 1,000 cubits. We talked about this last week. And 1,000 cubits would be about 500 yards, right? Mm-hmm. So about roughly a third to a quarter of a mile. And the water was still up to ankles. And he measured 1,000 again, so another third or so. And it brought me through the waters, and they came up to my knees. And he measured 1,000 again, so we're now up to about 3/4 or so. And the water came to my waist. And again he measured 1,000, and the river was one that I couldn't cross. So just over a mile out, the water was too deep. Water in which one must swim, a river that could not be crossed. Now I want you to notice the picture of it again. He said, "Son of man, have you seen this?" And he brought me and returned me to the bank of the river. And when I returned, there along the bank of the river were very many trees on one side and the other. Remember the heavenly and the picture of the millennial reign, which is kingdom of God come. Mm-hmm. Will of God be done on earth. That's what Yeshua was praying. And that's what the millennial reign will establish, is exactly that, the kingdom of God on this earth. It'll be totally established. The kingdoms of this world, they have become the kingdoms of our God and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. There were very many trees on one side and the other of this river. And he said to me, "This water flows down to the eastern region, goes down into the valley, and enters the sea." And we know that's the Salt Sea. "When it reaches the sea, its waters are healed. And it shall be that every living thing that moves, wherever the rivers go, will live. There will be very great multitude of fish because the waters that go there, for they will be healed, and everything will live wherever the river goes." So again, does that remind you of what, where that would come from? That would have to be a, an emanation from God that could cause that kind of healing, wouldn't it? Mm-hmm. And it talks about in Gedi and in Eglaim, they will be places for spreading nets. Well, you know, if you went down there today, you wouldn't find anything like that. You find a certain number of resorts, but it's where people go out and dip that mud on themselves because they think there's healing in it now. God says there's going to be healing in it when he puts life back in it, huh? There'll be fish will be of the same kinds as the fish of the great sea, exceeding many, but its swamps and its marshes will not be healed. They will be given over to salt.
Okay,
apparently that's where all the salt's going, huh? What were you going to say?
I've got a question.
Yeah, well, I do too. But go ahead.
The fish shall be according to their kinds as the fish of the great sea, by which they would probably mean the Mediterranean.
I would think so, yeah.
In the Mediterranean, there are whales. Is the Dead Sea going to get lots and lots larger?
It sounds to me like, well, wouldn't it?
It would have to.
Yeah, it sounds like it's going to come up a lot, you know.
Yeah.
In fact, possibly to sea level.
Oh, wow.
That would be cool.
If you stuck a whale in water, the water's going to rise anyway. A couple of whales, it's going to rise even
Does anybody know where Eglaim is?
No idea.
I don't know that I do. I'm guessing. Let's see if this one shows up. No, I don't. I'm guessing that it may be down near Eilat, in the Red, where the Red Sea is, down toward that.
Right.
That's where I'm guessing, but I may be wrong about it. We probably do have a map someplace that shows that. Along the bank of the river on this side and that. So which sides would that be? On which sides of the river will it be flowing?
Both.
Yeah, on both sides. And if I'm seeing this new river starts out flowing toward the east, but when it hits the Dead Sea or hits the Jordan, then it's going to be turned, isn't it?
Huh. Okay.
Because the Jordan runs north and south. So I'm seeing that this river would be north and south, would grow all kinds of trees. Hmm. And what are the trees for?
Healing.
Used for food, didn't it say in verse 12?
Mm-hmm.
They'll be used for food.
Okay.
Their leaves will not wither, and their fruit will not fail, and they will bear fruit every month. That's an unusual tree, isn't it? Because their water flows from the sanctuary, and their fruit will be for food. What does that remind you of, their fruit? What does that sound like?
Gan Eden.
Huh?
Gan Eden.
Yeah, Gan Eden. That was what was going on in the garden. Gan means garden. Gan Eden would be the Garden of Eden. That's what they ate in there. Was their fruit was for the food. And their leaves for medicine. Now, if this is the millennial reign, as I believe it is, there's 1,000 years, what do we need medicine for?
To heal the lands. I mean, if you've got... Well, it actually says it in the prophets that... You know, for instance, Elam or Iran is going to be turned into a glass parking lot, essentially. But at the end of days, the refugees from there are going to return.
Mm-hmm.
When Israel strikes the Aswan Dam, floods Egypt with irradiated water, it'll take 40 years to make it better, but it will be made better.
Mm-hmm.
And then Egypt will come back there. So I think that that's what this is going to do.
Mm-hmm.
It might, I have no idea how, but it might be for the healing literally of the nations.
And for the land and for the nations. And think about this again now. We've talked about, you know, approximately one third of the population possibly left. Many are going to be destroyed at the Battle of Armageddon, but we know that there are going to be those, remember the left hand and the right hand, the goats mm-hmm. and the sheep.
Mm-hmm.
And there are going to be those that are going to go in. Some of those will probably go into the millennial reign infirm in their bodies. It seems to me, Billy Brim says this, she says, I don't think there's going to be sickness you know, in the millennial reign. But perhaps at the beginning of it, you know, as you can see people coming into it
right.
that haven't been, in fact, we've even talked about this, some will not be born again when they enter into this time. And some will apparently not be born again at the end of the 1,000 years. Mm-hmm. And how many of you believe they still have to be born again?
Yes.
There's only one way to the Holy of Holies, right?
Right.
Only one way into heaven, and that's the blood of Jesus Christ, and that comes through trust and belief and becoming a new creation. Billy said maybe somebody might fall out of a tree and get injured and need medicine, or maybe they would have a spaceship accident. And now, you know, think about this for a second. You know, think about what's happening now
yeah.
in our era with knowledge and technology. And I think most people want to say, oh, this is going to be so simple, there won't be anything. But imagine when the mind of man is unhindered by HaSatan for 1,000 years, and even the unrighteous.
Right.
Imagine the kind of technological advances that could come along. When she first said that, I kind of did what y'all did. I kind of snickered. And then I got to thinking, you know, it might be that there may be some pretty high technological advances during that time. But at any rate, you know, that's all speculation.
Well, part of it, too, is when you, a lot of people that have had death experiences or talk about, it's like the Lord knew my thoughts instantaneously mm-hmm. and I knew theirs. Mm-hmm. So you don't necessarily have to be limited by the earth time frame where you can just think and you're there
mm-hmm.
without
mm-hmm.
even a.
And I believe that'll definitely be for those who are in their glorified
yeah,
bodies.
Right.
Yeah, that's right. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Okay, so maybe this is off. Then I start reading this where it says, you know, how many times are we referred to as trees?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Planted by the waters of
right.
life.
Shall be as a tree.
Right.
Yeah.
And by their
yeah,
blood
good.
You
yeah.
shall know uh-huh. their fruit. Is this one of those things that it is different than literal palm tree, cherry tree? Does it have to do that it's going to be almost like us?
You can definitely see that
yes.
in the millennial reign, can't
exactly.
you?
Exactly, yeah, right. And the fruit and mm-hmm. the leaves mm-hmm. used for medicine. Well, what's the medicine? It's the word. Is it that... I don't know, maybe that's out there, but
no,
is it
no,
just
no.
us speaking
no.
that word in that
no,
place that
be like trees planted
we
by
are going to be,
that's true.
Right? We're going to be those very things.
Something my wife and I like to say to each other a lot, whenever it's appropriate, can't it be both?
Yes.
And I think that it is. I think that this is a physical representation of us. It's I think that you're absolutely right that this is pointing to actual literal people going about and feeding the world and healing the world and stuff like that. It's also an actual literal physical representation of you know in itself.
I like that. I see so many times when you see double interpretations, which are both accurate because God uses, how was it that Morris Sorolla used to say that? All things are parallel.
Oh, so
nice.
The answer is yes.
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 Yeah, parallel.
Yes.
You know, the heavenly and or the spiritual and the earthly,
yes.
there's a parallel truth that runs in them.
Yes.
And, you know, when we think about God, well, of course he's going to do everything the same in the natural that he's done in the spiritual. That just makes sense that's the way to do it. So I like that. I like that thought, you know. I really like the thought that we're going to be involved in this. I really believe that. I think that's true. And yet I believe that there will be those things which, in fact, maybe will lead people to the natural blessings of God too, you know, in this time. But anyhow, it's interesting to note that is, again, a parallel or a mirror, mm-hmm. if you will, to what we've been reading about in the 22nd chapter of Revelation.
Before we leave Ezekiel, I've got another question. I know I'm just full of questions. I I'm certain that you're right, that once the water hits the Dead Sea, now becomes the Living Sea, it will split, and the Jordan will go up to the Kinneret. And like you said, the waters will continue on down unto Eilat.
Mm-hmm.
They don't stop there. They keep going beyond there.
That's right.
Which makes sense, because we've got a whole world's worth of ocean that needs healed.
That's true. That is true. It'd be running into the ocean with its healing power. That's good. That's good. And I think the event itself is going to be so magnificent, and probably will be start off with an earthquake, don't you imagine?
Probably.
That there's apt to be, that's going to open up this path down through there like you've never imagined before. In fact, there are some people that believe, and I don't know that I have proof one way or another, that there'll be a river that runs from the Great Sea all the way across at the end, you know, that Israel will be split by a river. And whether that's true or not, I don't know. But apparently from Jerusalem on, which isn't very many miles, on down to the Jordan and the Dead Sea, there'll definitely be one. And we know where the healing of the waters come from. But since Jerusalem's higher, water would be going both ways, wouldn't it? You know,
yeah.
At that case, you know. You got anything?
No.
Okay, well, we'll go back to Revelation 22 then. In the middle of its street, I thought this was interesting. We talked about it a little bit last week, I think, and Henrietta drew a picture of it, the street.
It never says streets.
No, it never does it?
It says street.
The middle of its street. Now,
I mean, even in chapter 21.
Yeah, I know. You've got a street that runs through a land that's 1,500 miles by 1,500 miles in the street in Jerusalem. 1,500 miles by 1,500 miles. And then you've got this... she actually drew kind of a helix. I don't know if you know what a helix is. It looks like a spring, you know. and it could be like that. I don't know. You know, we just... here's, again, you know, we're talking something... that we're limited when we get our minds. Try to get your mind around something. Isn't that what people say always? Trying to get my mind? Well, forget it. Your mind isn't big enough. You can't. You don't even think in all these dimensions, I don't think. I think that's the problem. We just know three dimensions, right? God has other dimensions that we haven't discovered yet. But on either side of the river was the tree of life. Go ahead, Kim.
I'm visualizing. That's what I'm doing. I'm touching it while I'm doing it.
All right.
Well, and how does it, I mean, is this another, it's both? Because how do you have a river on a
it's
trail?
Going through the middle of the tree. The tree's on
trees
both sides.
Right. So it's going under the tree?
Yeah. I don't know, maybe.
You ride a gondola right down there, under the trees.
One person that I read described it as a boulevard.
A boulevard. Yeah. Big, big, wide.
Yeah, where, you know, says the river runs in the middle of the street. Mm-hmm. You know, like you know the boulevards in Denver, how they're
mm-hmm. separated by...
They're separated by island. Trees and grass and mm-hmm. all this stuff, you know. Well, this could be...
Well, I want you to think about this place where we're going to live. You know, Jesus said, I'm going to prepare a place for you. And I want you to think about it a little bit. In the wilderness, which I figured one time had to be probably 12 to 15 miles, the encampment by 12 to 15 miles. I mean, this would be like maybe from here to Granby, you know.
Yeah.
And there's people everywhere, but... What could the people all see?
They could all see the pillar of smoke.
They could all see the pillar of cloud in the day, and at night they could all see the fire, couldn't they? Now, is God going to be, again, the mirror? You know, is he going to be bringing us something very similar to that when we're in heaven? Will we all have access to the throne?
Yeah,
and how would you do that? I have not seen nor ear heard, right? But just imagine that every one of us will have a way to look upon him. Mm-hmm. And I don't believe there's going to be, well, we have to go home tonight, you know, because because there is no night. Mm-hmm. But I don't believe we're ever going to have to say, well, so long, Lord. We're going to, mm-hmm. no, we'll be with him. Right. We'll look upon his face.
Presence, yeah. Face to face.
Yeah, eternally.
Yeah.
And yet we're talking millions. You know, we don't know how many millions mm-hmm. that would be possibly involved in this.
Yeah, but if God can hear every person's thought and prayer, even simultaneously now, to put it in the physical, earthly realm that we live in, how much more, how much greater is that feasible and possible?
When we're all changed to be like him.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And we won't need light or sun, right?
No light or sun.
Well, everybody on earth can see the sun at some point.
Yeah.
You can see it from everywhere.
That's true. Right. That's true.
So if it's... I don't know. Maybe the presence of God is something like over the top of everything mm-hmm. that you can see from, you know, everywhere.
Imagine the unfettered access to God, you know. Just with him.
It's like autumn.
What did he say? He says that when they may be as we are, I and them and thou and me, that they may be one as we are one.
Yes.
We begin to look at it, and we see some things that, you know, are, again, individuals, personalities, and yet...
All one.
It one. Echad.
Nice.
Echad, yeah. But here again, you've got a tree of life which bore 12 fruits. And each tree yielding its fruit every month. That sounds similar to what we read before, doesn't it? What does that mean? Does that mean that there's one fruit on 12 different kinds of trees? That's what it kind of says, doesn't it?
That's what it says.
Yeah. Go ahead. What do you got there?
The Complete Jewish Bible says, between the main street and the river was the tree of life producing 12 kinds of fruit, a different kind every month.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Harry and David glorified.
Yeah, I was wondering if there was 12 at once or you had to... to wait till June. Get up. I want some June fruit.
I just don't think it's going to be like a tangelo.
That's a mingled seed.
That's mingled, isn't it? That's right.
So then it makes me wonder, does each of the fruit represent one of the tribes?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And those leaves and that fruit from that tribe somehow is a healing mm-hmm. to one of those nations out there that there's a connection there.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's good.
That's in good. The time after time, there's still going to be months.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, that's right. In eternity, there are still going to be months, aren't they?
Huh.
You know what? And again, I would love to have this in the in the language that John first heard it in.
Doesn't
you know?
That go back to creation, though? I mean, it was...
seasons and time?
Yeah,
but there was day and night then. Now there's no longer night.
No, but so it was still still a cycle.
Yeah. Well, and you know, this is something we don't understand about eternity, but I think there's even other things that are indicated that are kind of, you know, curious about just how this could be in when we're in eternity, and there is time, not as we know it, there is no time as we know it, and yet it's apparently marked by divisions.
And we'll just know when it's supposed to be Sabbath to rest.
Well, what did he say? We keep the festivals for how long?
Forever. Yeah. And really, if you stop and think about
it,
what is it that rules the sun and the moon?
If they rules the sun and the moon.
What? The Father.
Yeah.
Yeah, he is the ruler over them, so if that's his nature, the way he rules over them and the way he has established them, can you see that in him, in the light that is him, the same kind of order would still be there?
Right.
Yeah, it's still going to be perfect order because 12 is the number of government in order. You've got the 12 gates, you've got the, you know, the 12 tree fruit, pieces of fruit. So even when you look at the Hebraic definition of the word, 1500 means light. And light in every direction, if it goes up, down, you know, circle, whatever, it's still all in order and perfect.
Yeah,
cool.
In it, so.
And even here, we're talking about the leaves of the trees being for healing.
Because everything is for healing in there. Everything is that exists.
Well, and that's interesting because, not to jump ahead, but it says no longer can anything come near him. that is
no
curse or anything.
Not healed.
That's right. In fact, at this point in time, where is everything that
in
he names
presence.
Here?
In
it's presence. In the lake of fire, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. Those things. Yeah.
By this time, everything that is like that is already in the lake of fire.
Why do the nations need healing?
That's a question, isn't it? And maybe maybe it comes to the place of that healing means more than what we know.
I think so.
That healing actually has a different... there are people that believe that we won't be, the moment we get to heaven, we won't be exactly as we shall be as eternity continues. That there is something. In fact, Henrietta always tells me that I've got to spend 1,000 years in an outer room learning to be nice.
No more
only
short
1,000?
Jokes.
Only 1,000. Well,
no
that's because of my short jokes, you know. Henrietta's the only person that can lay down in the back seat of a car. But she lays from front to back.
I think he should spend 1,000 years.
I'm not going to
judge. I'm on party.
I'm not sure I subscribe to any of that, but there are those that believe that, and they believe that there is actually times of who knows, maybe there'll be Hebrew instruction when we first get to heaven. Maybe we'll learn Hebrew and not just know it immediately. I don't know, but I do know this: I'm going to know Hebrew. And I'm trying to get a jump on it, too. So, there shall be no more curse, verse 3.
Amen.
No more curse.
Amen.
That, you could just see that. That has just taken everything that is contrary to shalom out, right?
Yes.
It's gone. But the throne of God and the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. Which indicates to me there's going to be something going on there.
There'll be activity.
Service. Mm-hmm. In fact, service, that word for service in the Greek is the same as ministry. Mm-hmm. Ministry.
Well, and that was my question in the car on the way out. I mean, we're in the ultimate place, in his ultimate presence, but his character is a character of creator.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
So, you know, at that point, just because we're there, does that mean his creation stops?
And it's in us, too.
Yeah.
It's in us. And the words that we speak. And, you know, it's not perhaps too far-fetched to say, you know, he created worlds, you know.
Right.
Will there still be world creation going on?
Right.
And who knows, you know.
Right.
Well, who are his servants here? Because he calls us his kings and priests.
True.
So are the servants like the seraphim, the cherubim, the other angels? Who are the servants? Because
I don't know. I don't know that. I see what you're saying.
Angels, but we're not
called
servants.
We're not like them. That's right.
Children or kings and priests.
I think it includes us, though, because in verse 4, they shall see his face and his name shall be in their foreheads.
Mm-hmm. And that's what we're talking about earlier, about seeing his face. It's not like, you know, you're going to get to see his face. You're going to perpetually see his face and his name, and remember, we've seen this theme so many times, in their hand and on their forehead. His name is going to be, and I don't know if you'll see it emblazoned on us, or if you'll see it as a light emanating from us, but I believe you'll see the Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh. I really believe you'll see that on our foreheads.
And it's in our foreheads. It's part of us.
Yeah.
Well, that's our thinking, right?
Yeah.
Definitely in the totally renewed mind.
I mean, our thoughts. I mean, can't thoughts actually emanate? I mean,
they do.
Yeah.
They do, because they have energy.
Yeah.
Cool.
Think about no night. It just blows everything away that we've ever known.
Don't scare the boogeyman anymore.
No, no
you can
night.
Walk in the woods without fear.
No night there.
Well, isn't it Alaska or Hawaii or somewhere where it's
Alaska.
Midnight and it's still light out?
Yeah.
I mean,
in fact, that causes the natural man a lot of difficulty. Yeah. You know, they get up there and sometimes because their body doesn't respond without it, they stay awake way too long until they finally crash, you know. Mm-hmm. And did you spend time up in that far north?
Fortunately, I was just down in the south in Anchorage, and it still affected us a lot.
Yeah.
I mean, you'd be out there playing and stuff like that and look at your watch and it's like 2 a.m. and you're like, oh, yeah, I should probably go to sleep for work tomorrow.
Sounds like Vegas.
Yeah. I have a hard enough time dealing with the hour time change.
Right, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, just the no night. So that means, you know, I make all things new.
Yeah.
And it's going to take a new body to handle that, isn't it? Mm-hmm. They need no lamp, nor light of the sun. You just imagine if you're in your mansion, your dwelling place, wherever you have prepared for you, you're not going to have lamps in it. That light is going to emanate.
Electricity bill.
No. And you don't have to have all these solar collectors, right. And no wind turbines.
We have a different kind of sun collector.
Yes.
Right, yeah. And he gives them light. The Lord gives them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. And this is talking about us, isn't it?
Yeah.
The people or the inhabitants of heaven.
I think that verses 3 through 5 are talking about us, because no matter how good we are, we're still going to be his servants.
He just no longer calls us servants. He calls us friends, but the relationship from our hearts is going to be to serve God, right?
Right. Yeah. And yet we'll still be reading.
Right. That's right. Yeah. And remember, you could say this, his ministers shall minister to him.
Yeah.
This could be read that way and be accurate.
Because this isn't meaning a bond servant.
Oh, no, absolutely no bondage. Mm-hmm. I can see a day when we're all going to be assigned some very wonderful jobs, you know. Mm-hmm. We're all going to get promoted.
Well, when Jesus said he was hungry and the apostles went to get food, and he talked to the woman at the well, and they came back, he was refreshed.
Yeah.
By ministering. So uh-huh. When we minister to him, I think that refreshes
us,
the Lord, as yeah. well.
That's good.
No, no, that was just ministry either. It was the fact that she took something from him.
Yeah,
which, that's
right. He which wants to give so much.
Right.
He wants us to take
strength.
It.
Right.
And the more that we take, the more he wants to give.
Right.
And, you know, the fact that he gave himself away and she got it and took it and said, yeah, ran back to town, I think it was the fact that she took something, too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's good. Point.
And
that's
I think
good.
He longs for us to take more
he
than
does.
We do.
It's like he gets you energized know? To use a physical term
mm-hmm.
when we draw from him, because all of scripture is come to me, draw from me, take from me,
right.
My covenant, my benefits. It's like, let me bless you, rest mm-hmm. in me and let me bless you. And here we're trying to do good works and whatever, and it's like, I got nothing to do with you, it's all about me.
That's right.
Please take, I mean, it's like this laden feast and you're outside looking for
Yeah, and how many times you say,
crumbs.
Oh, you have little faith, or you
yeah,
have little faith.
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly.
Just believe, take it,
just
take it.
Which is
you
why
know?
I think this picture is of the tree of life and fruit and, again, abundance, like you're saying.
Yeah.
And flowing.
And always
that flowing.
Ongoing.
That's right, yeah.
You know flow. When you prune something, it grows back bigger?
Mm-hmm.
You were okay. saying something about the winter wheat did that.
Mm-hmm. It, when it gets smashed down by the snow.
When we take the fruit from the tree of life, yeah, I'm picturing it about this big. When we take the fruit from the tree of life, is that going to make
mine
more
bite size? You have to hold it.
Well, watermelon-sized berries, you mean?
Yeah. I think that once we take it, more will grow.
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely.
Right.
Absolutely, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Absolutely, I see that too.
Because it says in the latter days, the harvest you plant and sow the seed, it's immediate. So this is going to be a reflection.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
If there's no curse, there's nothing to stop it from not
from
instantaneously or miraculously just occurring.
That's incredible.
Back in Ezekiel 47:12, it does say, neither shall the fruit thereof be consumed. So I would...
Yeah, I would
oh, wow.
be assured that that means that this fruit, which is the...
It never runs out.
It is the pattern for what we see on the earth during the millennial reign in Ezekiel 47. So yeah, that would be right. I thought this next verse, verse 6, he says, then he said to me, these words are faithful and true. And I thought, you know, that's kind of strange to put that in there. I mean, why would you put that in there
right
now?
Not at all, because I think some people read this and go, you got to be kidding me. Are there people that actually believe this?
Well, it could be that. You know? That could be that. And it could be this, too, that maybe he looked at John and his mouth was dropped down. He was
yeah.
And he says, as unlikely as this all seems to you now, know this, that what I'm telling you is absolutely emunah and emet.
Amen.
Well, very few faithful times and true. Did
if it were
he
not
say,
true, I would tell you so.
Yeah, how great is your faith? I've not seen
right.
as great a faith. It was very rare
yep.
that was ever stated as when Jesus walked on the earth. So he's probably still sitting there going, really? You guys are slow learners.
They still don't get it.
Because later down in the verse when it says, let those who are filthy remain filthy, let those who are unjust mm-hmm. remain unjust. Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. there has to be, like you said, people or something without mm-hmm. totally renewed minds and bodies yet that would be questioning.
Right. Right. Well, anyhow, it's a great time for us to stop and know that not one bit of this is anything but true.
Amen.
Everything we've heard is true. Everything is going faithful. Shows me it's not only true, but it's going to happen.
Right.
You know, it's steadfast. It's certain. And the Lord of the holy prophets, the Lord God of the holy prophets, sent his angel. And I want you to think about that, the angelos word in the Greek, the
Malakieve,
what?
The Malakieve, the literally the angel
the
of the
angel.
Lord.
Yeah, Malak. Yeah, okay, that's the Hebrew. Say it again.
Malakieve.
Malakieve. Malak. Malak.
Malak.
Malak is king. Malak
He's
is angel.
Messenger.
Right. Malak. Okay, so the angel. Now, I want you to know that there's, you know, you can miss it here, and John just very, very nearly did, but I think he very nearly missed it in a couple of ways here. As we get to it, you'll see. He sent his angel to show his servants the thing which must shortly take place. I want you to say those last three words.
Shortly
take
place.
Now, you know, was it Billy also said somebody wrote a letter one time and said, talking about this, I come quickly and shortly take place. And she said, did the Lord miss it on this letter? And she says, there again, you know, we look at things from our time. And she said, just think, it's been roughly 2 days since he spoke these words to John.
Uh-huh.
Roughly 2 days in the Lord's timing. And so, you know, if we can get ourselves to break free of our bondage thinking and being trapped in a situation that seems so hopeless and so long and how long, you know, David
yeah.
did this.
How long?
People always like to get on David about, well, he was that way. Listen, David was, you know, he showed his humanity many times, but it doesn't mean you're supposed to try to emulate it. You know, a lot of times David complained. I don't believe it was put there for us to emulate. It was for us to rightly divide the word of truth and say, yeah, David was a man and he was flesh and he missed it there, you know. And I really do believe he did, you know. I believe a lot of his complaining was him missing it.
Yeah.
And, you know, then, you know, it's kind of like Job.
Mm-hmm.
Job spent, you know, a good part of the book complaining against God
mm-hmm.
and blaming God. And finally, at the end, Job saw, you know, I made all this thing happen to myself.
Yeah.
I brought all this on me. And then he said some profound words. He says, one who knows nothing should keep his mouth shut.
Mm-hmm.
And so there again, you know, here we've got this. But our timing, you know, is got to be, you know, we've got to come to the place where we realize that no matter how long things seem, you know, when you get to be the age of Jacob, you remember what Jacob told Pharaoh?
Oh.
Pharaoh says, how old are you? He says, I'm 137 and my days have been really tough and short. My life has been really tough and short.
And short.
You know, I'm paraphrasing it. But 137 years old and he thought his life had been kind of short. Well, he lived another 10 after that, so he did okay. But
all of Henrietta's
what's that?
All of Henrietta's life.
I didn't hear you.
All of Henrietta's life has been short.
All of her life has been short? You mean having to live with me?
She's in the outside, too. They can have,
It's a thousand-year club.
You know what you two are doing. You two are putting more gems in her crown.
That's what we are, You know, when we get into our glorified body, she's probably going to be about 6'8". And I'll probably be 5'4".
Henrietta.
You'll see us walking around in heaven and I'll be holding on to her hand.
Looking up to her.
Another thing going in line with what you were just said, how we look at things. Let's go back to the bond servants.
Mm-hmm.
The bond servants. We're going to be kings. We're going to be priests. What greater thing is a king? A good king serves.
That's right.
A good priest serves. That's their job.
Yeah. That's right.
I mean, that's what they do. And bond servants... Isn't that the voluntary thing?
That's right.
Where if you have a wife while you're serving this guy and all this kind of stuff, you can go to the doorpost. Yeah.
Yeah.
And, you know, we're servants by choice. And if you want to be great in the kingdom, be the servant.
That's right.
Okay, wash my head and hands as well. You
know? That's right. That's good. That's good. He that'll be greatest
of all. We're looking
at it
from an earthly kind of standpoint.
Yeah.
When a servant is a great, that's a great thing.
Yeah, that's good.
The whole
that's
kingdom
really
is
excellent.
Backwards.
Wonderful. Yeah. Well, I'm glad you brought that up. That's good.
So good.
Amen. That's wonderful. And that's what he's doing. He's showing this to his servants. And the servant of all is the greatest of all. That's us, right?
No. The servant of all who's the greatest of all is Yehoshua.
Mm-hmm. Yehoshua, you're right. He is the servant. Mm-hmm. That's right. That's exactly right. Amen. Mm-hmm. Behold.
Well, and it's also just one more thing.
Yeah,
it's
good.
Also it's good to know that you know, we all have a heart to serve, but boy, sometimes we can just get in there and mess it up.
Yeah.
And just knowing that we're going to be in His presence, we can have that pure heart and not mess anything up.
Not mess anything up. That's right. That's right. That's right. He said, look, I'm coming quickly. Look, I'm coming quickly. And I know, again, you know, people say, well, it just seems like it's been so long. You know, if you look at Peter says, you know, people are saying, Where's his coming? Ever since the fathers, they've been saying he's coming. Henrietta's sister said to her one time, well, yeah, they've been saying this for years and years and years, you know. Well, you know, what that is the people that say that actually establish what the Word says. The Word says they will say he delayeth his coming. But he says, I'm coming quickly. I'm coming quickly.
When it says, behold, I come quickly, do you think that there's a relation to the way that we would say he beheld something? Is he saying, look, or watch, because I'm coming quickly?
Readiness?
Yes.
Oh. Yeah, yeah. I think you're right. I think that's exactly implied in that, you know? Mm. When you want somebody to get to looking, you want them to look so that they'll be vigilant
ready.
And that's right.
Ready.
I'm coming quickly.
When the bridegroom, the groom's father is the one that sets the time, and that's when Jesus said, "Not even I know that time that comes." So, you know, like you said, what's quickly to us is
right.
Well, let's take the quickly off the end, and it just says, "I am coming."
Yeah, that's true.
He's in the act of it right
I
now.
Am and coming. He's the act of it right now.
I
yeah.
am
yeah.
coming. Yeah. That's good. I am. Who's coming? I am.
I am.
I am coming.
Yeah.
Yep. Blessed. Baruch. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Blessed is he who keeps the words of the prophecy of this book. How do you keep the words of this prophecy?
You speak it.
Speak it? How else?
Read it.
How else?
You gotta know it.
Meditate.
Do it. And you know, how many of you believe that this book, when it's talking about this book, it still goes back to the Torah?
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
It still goes back to Torah. It's Torah because the book foundation is the Torah of God.
It's one
keeping
big
it.
Book.
Yeah. In fact, if you really get right down to it. Here's the reason it blesses you is because when you keep the words of the prophecy, then the words of their prophecy keep you.
Yeah.
They guard you. They protect you. Blessed.
And it's the end from the beginning, the end, the tree of life, all that stuff was there.
That's right. Now I, John, actually one of you guys ought to read this. Now I, John, saw and heard these things. When I heard and saw, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel who showed me these things.
Oh,
somebody talk to me about that. Somebody talk to me about verse 8.
Well, I've had a vision before where I was in God's presence and I couldn't see his face, but it was just his eminence was so strong I had nothing else I could do but to be prostrate.
Mm-hmm. I understand that. I understand that when you go down, but he wasn't allowed to do this.
Oh, before the angel.
Yeah.
Right, before the angel.
Right.
Right.
But, now, but it is true, presence, you know, that right. There have been, Daniel went down.
Right.
But I, you know, I just got to thinking about that. I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel. Now,
doing the same thing.
Because
too.
He's got the light of God in him, doesn't
he? Yeah, that's true. That's true. But notice how sternly he gets stopped from this. Mm-hmm. See mm-hmm. that you do not do that. And I got to thinking, you know, here's John. First of all, he was a good Jewish boy, trained up. Who did Jews bow down to?
Jews bow down to nobody except for Yahweh. Yahweh.
Yeah, that's right. Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh is the only place where you would bow at that name, at that time. And of course, John knew about Yeshua and knew that at the name of Jesus, mm-hmm. every knee would bow. Mm-hmm. But
at some point, he recognized the light, and mm-hmm. what I was saying, he bowed to the light.
And you may be exactly right. That may be the light of God that was in him, but he recognized this as a... And when we say angel, we need to stop and recognize that angel doesn't always mean
good angel.
It doesn't always mean an angelic being as we think of him. Right. It also means messenger. The messenger or the sent one, mm-hmm. and that he, you know, this guy tells him right away, I'm not one of the created angels.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I'm not one of those. I am like your servant. Mm-hmm. But to me, there was a, you know, I think there's a rebuke going on here to him.
Oh, there is, yeah.
I think he's getting rebuked for what he did. And I think he nearly missed it, you know.
Right.
I think I think the dude might be panicking. Like, when they were going to go and make a sacrifice to Paul and Barnabas.
Yeah.
Because Paul was Mercury and Barnabas was... whatever their other false god was. And Paul's like, no, don't do that.
Rips their clothes.
Yeah.
And he says, and we scarcely kept him from doing it, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think that's the same thing here. It's like, the guy's like, no.
Yeah.
Plus, what did the angel just get done saying to him? I am coming quickly.
Yeah, that's true.
Whoa.
That's true.
That make you drop to your knees?
That's true. Yeah. And that may have been there may have been some confusion in that area, right?
Right.
How do you suppose he said those last two words in verse 9? What kind of how would you expect maybe?
Kind of a raised voice and probably pretty stern, relatively stern. How's that? Just stern.
You don't think he said worship God?
No.
Plink.
Get up,
Mark.
This is the same thing that happened in Revelation 19, 9
mm-hmm.
and 10.
Mm-hmm. He did it one more time, didn't he?
Well, and mm-hmm. let's look at that too, though. How did Satan deceive a third of the angels? Because he also was created and had that light.
Came as an angel of light.
Right. So, I mean, isn't this a warning for John to say, don't be deceived?
Well, I certainly think there's something like that going on. You know, I think that the light that Hasatan had in this world, I don't think he had that light anymore. I think that light had been taken from him.
But when he was in heaven.
He originally had it, but the light that he shows now when it says he comes as an angel of light, it's again with a counterfeit. Right. Yeah. Yeah. Well, it just stuck out to me. I don't know. I just thought I would bring it up and see what you all thought. But I, you know, I can see and hear again, you know, in strong manifestation.
Yeah.
Even in the presence of holy ones, you know, there's still a reason to maintain vigilance, isn't there?
Right.
And recognition of who is worthy to be worshipped.
Well, plus it's kind of like, where were they?
Yeah.
They're in the holy city. You've got the thrones right there. You're too far down to me. You know? Get up. Worship God.
There shall be no other gods.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Before me, and the angels have at this point a greater understanding of that than we do. Because sometimes I think we get pretty lax in not retaining the reverence and respect
That only goes to God. That's
I
right.
am speaking for myself and all of you, because you're not speaking up.
No, you're absolutely right. And yet, it's also absolutely true in the other direction. We say, oh, I sinned. Oh, no, God's too holy for me.
Yeah. That's the grace.
Yeah, and you have to have that balance, because it's like, I don't remember when they do this, but the Jews have this thing that they sing, Avinu Melkenu, our Father, our King, because he has to be both.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's good.
But see, I think the angel would have spoken to John, not in condemnation, but like you're saying, in grace. But you can speak in grace and still get the point across.
And be firm. Yeah.
Yeah. Right. I mean, you can.
Yeah, right. Yeah, that's good. That's good. After he does this, he said, do not seal the words of the prophecy of this book. And somebody was talking about this last week, about he was told to write again. It almost makes you think, maybe, again, you know, he's stopped in his duties here, you know. He says, do not seal the words of the prophecy of this book. And who did he tell to seal the words of the prophecy that he was given?
Daniel.
Daniel was told, don't write this now. Or seal this up now. Write it, but seal it. Don't let it out. Why? Well, here's the answer. The last says, for the time is at hand.
Right.
The time for this to come forth is because it's now.
Didn't he say that to Daniel too? It's like, seal this up because the time isn't the time.
I think it did, yeah. It's for a time. That's what he said, because it's for a time. That's right. And the time now is at hand. He who is unjust. Now it goes into something that, you know, here again, we got to remember where we're seeing. We're seeing the holy city. We're seeing, you know, this has come down from God out of heaven. There's a new earth and there's a new heaven now. But he says, he who is unjust, let him be unjust still. He who is filthy, let him be filthy still. Now, what's this all about? He was righteous, let him be righteous still. He's holy, let him be holy still. What's being talked about right here? What do you think?
Is that the lake of fire?
Well, it seems to me that definitely the first two would be in the lake of fire.
Because nothing and the last two like would be in the presence of God. Him.
Right.
And I wondered if it's a recognition of the people that have made their choice.
Exactly. That's kind of what I see. You know, there's a big teaching. I don't know if we don't hear it a lot, and you'll never hear it in this church, but there are those who teach universal reconciliation. Did you know that?
No. Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. There are people that teach that the loving God will one day release everyone from the lake of fire and all will be saved in the end.
What they believe?
Oh, yeah. I suppose that they probably believe that somehow they'll be changed. To me, this deals with that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
This deals with that. It'll never, ever change. Mm-hmm. He that is unjust... In other words,
still gonna be unjust.
Do you remember the old saying, he made his bed?
Yeah.
Well, that really fits here, doesn't it?
Yeah.
You've made it, and it's an eternal bed. That's the problem. And boy, I'm so thankful the last two of them are on there, because he who is righteous, and how are we righteous?
Through the blood of Jesus.
By the blood of Jesus. Let him be righteous still. In other words, we'll never change either.
No.
It's eternal. Right. Listen. This is eternal security here, brother and sister.
Yeah.
This is it. He who is holy, let him be holy. And behold, I am coming quickly. I want to just stop for a second and look at Isaiah 66. Isaiah 66 is a very interesting scripture and prophecy. And there's only 24 verses in it. And Chrissy, why don't you read the...
Okay. Which part?
66 what?
66, starting with verse 1.
True.
Go ahead and read 6 verses.
The number of man. Chapter 6, 6 to 6. Thus saith the Lord, the heaven is my throne, and the earth is my footstool. Where is the house that ye build unto me, and where is the place of my rest? For all those things have mine hand made, and all those things have been, saith the Lord. But to this man will I look, even to him that is poor and of contrite spirit, and trembleth at my word. He that killeth an ox is as if he slew a man. He that sacrificed a lamb, as if he cut off a dog's neck. He that offer an oblation, as if he offered swine's blood. He that burneth incense, as if he blessed an idol. Yea, they have chosen their own ways, and their soul delights in their abominations. I also will choose their delusions, and will bring their fears upon them, because when I called, none did answer. When I spake, they did not hear. But they did evil before mine eyes, and chose that in which I delighted not. Hear the word of the Lord, ye that tremble at his word. Your brethren that hated you, that cast you out for my name's sake, said, let the Lord be glorified. But he shall appear to your joy, and they shall be ashamed. A voice of noise from the city, a voice from the temple, a voice of the Lord that rendereth recompense to his enemies.
Wow. Can you go ahead and read 7 to 12?
Before she travailed, she brought forth. Before her pain came, she was delivered of a man-child. Who hath heard such a thing? Who hath seen such things? Shall the earth be made to bring forth in one day, or shall a nation be born at once? For as soon as Zion travailed, she brought forth her children. Shall I bring to the birth and not cause to bring forth? Saith the Lord, shall I cause to bring forth and shut the womb? Saith thy God. Rejoice ye with Jerusalem, and be glad with her. All ye that love her, rejoice for joy with her, all ye that mourn for her, that ye may suck and be satisfied with the breasts of her consolations, that ye may milk out and be delighted with the abundance of her glory. For thus saith the Lord, behold, I will extend peace to her like a river, and the glory of the Gentiles like a flowing stream. Then shall ye suck, ye shall be borne upon her sides, and be dandled upon her knees.
Go ahead, Deb. 13. 13 through 18.
As a mother comforts her child, so will I comfort you, and you will be comforted over Jerusalem. When you see this, your heart will rejoice, and you will flourish like grass. The hand of the Lord will be made known to his servants, but his fury will be shown to his foes. See, the Lord is coming with fire, and his chariots are like a whirlwind. He will bring down his anger with fury, and his rebuke with flames of fire. For with fire and with his sword, the Lord will execute judgment upon all men, and many will be those slain by the Lord. Those who consecrate and purify themselves to go into the gardens, following the one in the midst of those who eat the flesh of pigs and rats and other abominable things, they will meet their end together, declares the Lord. And I, because of their actions and their imaginations, am about to come and gather all nations and tongues, and they will come and see my glory.
Go ahead, Jane.
I will set a sign among them, and I will send some of those who survive to the nations, to Tarshish, to the Libyans and the Lydians, famous as archers, to Tubal and Greece, and to the distant islands that have not heard of my fame or seen my glory. They will proclaim my glory among the nations, and they will bring all your brothers from all the nations to my holy mountain in Jerusalem as an offering to the Lord, on horses and chariots and wagons, and on mules and camels, says the Lord. They will bring them, as the Israelites bring their grain offerings, to the temple of the Lord in ceremonially clean vessels, and I will select some of them also to be priests and Levites, says the Lord. As the new heavens and the new earth that I make will endure before me, declares the Lord, so will your name and descendants endure. From one new moon to another, and from one Sabbath to another, all mankind will come and bow down before me, says the Lord. And they will go out and look upon the dead bodies of those who rebelled against me. Their worm will not die, nor will their fire be quenched, and they will be loathsome to all mankind.
Wow, huh?
Yikes.
To me, this kind of is the summary of, you know, goes way back, of course, to the birth of Israel, actually. You see all of that, but then you see the end here. And it's amazing to me, as you look through here, you see a lot of religious people in it, you know, people that are coming and offering, they sanctify themselves. And when you first read it, you think, oh, they must be all right, but they're sanctifying themselves to idols. They're sanctifying themselves, and then they're going eating rat's flesh and swine. According, it's interesting, God put swine and rat flesh in the same verse, you know. But, you know, then it talks about how it's forever. But I thought this was extremely interesting when it says that from one Sabbath to another. And Kim already talked about this, that one new moon, a new heaven and a new earth. There's no mention any place that I know of about the new moon. But what is Rosh Chodesh is the word. And Rosh Chodesh means the head of the month, really is what that means, the head of the month. So possibly there's no real mention of moon in this if you really look at it. It means the you know that the months begin, but there will be months which begin the 12 months, and there will be Sabbaths, and all flesh shall come and worship me. But I thought this was extremely interesting when it says in verse 24, they shall go forth and look upon the corpses of the men.
And my footnotes here say that the Hebrew word for loathsome is translated contempt.
Contempt.
Well, I find it interesting in this. Let's back up here. I've got to put my glasses on again. Where they're sanctifying themselves before idols.
Right.
Well, then when we look in 22, I found this very interesting. I know I'm jumping ahead here, but outside are dogs and sorcerers. Or what is a sorcerer? Those are the people who idol worshippers.
Right. And yeah, that's right. That's right. People that use potions and things like that to worship God too, you know.
And then it goes on and says it outright, and murderers and idolaters.
Right, yeah. But it's interesting to me that in this place of perfection, there will still be a recognition of those that are lost. And, I mean, from again, you know, this is something that my mind doesn't quite understand. It seems, you know, just to even have the recognition that that's there would be somehow.
It would be sad.
Yeah, it would be sad.
But it won't be sad anymore.
But it's victory in the final analysis, right? And remember when God said, as He was destroying them all, rejoice, rejoice, you know, because all of this defilement has been taken away.
Let me ask another question. God's heart, they're all His children.
Yeah.
Whether they bow or not.
Right.
And it's, I don't know that it's sad, but it's still your child, right?
Yeah.
And
yeah.
It's, there's got to be that place of compassion and that place of...
Yeah.
Well, doesn't the Holy Spirit grieve? At some point, I mean...
Well, we can grieve him, but it's generally through unbelief, as near as I can tell. The grieving of the Holy Spirit is a matter of unbelief.
I don't know, I just...
You know? Yeah. I don't know either.
I think about that and I wonder, you know, it's just...
But it kind of goes back to why this, right, in this beautiful time, God mentions that in the book of Revelation, we see that outside are where those that are, you know, they aren't here. Where are they? Well, the Bible calls it outer darkness, right? It calls it a lake of fire. You know, it's definitely called Gehenna, you know.
I've got a question. And I don't know if this is too esoteric or too abstract or whatever. Because it's like how many angels can dance on the head of a pin.
I don't know. Tell me. How many is that?
All of them, but they wouldn't be very comfortable.
Yes.
Is He leaving them... in existence because he loves them, and because he's still standing right there.
Mm-hmm.
And he's, you know, still looking at them. He's probably not going to say anything to them anymore because they're cut off from him. But is it possible that, physically possible, whatever, that they can repent? It's just that nobody of them will ever, ever choose to.
Right. It seems to me that this is the whole thing about the justice of God, is that whosoever will can come and drink of the water of life freely.
Right.
Whosoever will. But here's the statement. If they're filthy, they'll be filthy still. If they're unrighteous, they'll be unrighteous still.
Right.
And no, I believe that once they've done it, they can, you know, they cannot, they will not. Say will not, you know, that's the key, isn't it?
Yeah.
They will not, but whosoever will, let him come.
Right.
And, you know, obviously, they're going to be shut off from his presence.
Yeah.
That's what the death means, to be separated from. And the picture of darkness, outer darkness, you know, it shows no light. Where we're going to be is going to be
all light.
All light, right, yeah.
And it's like, it's kind of oxymoron, because it's, when we think of fire, what do we think of?
Right.
That
right.
Glow.
Right. Right.
So it's outer darkness burning fire,
yeah,
with no light.
With no light.
Oh, well, they're recognizing God and Christ forever. The knowledge of God is in all of us,
right,
whether we choose to accept or not.
Right.
So for eternity, they will recognize their choice,
right,
to have been cut off from God. Right now, we have the opportunity to be under the covenant of the fulfillment of Christ, so we're not in the outer darkness even now.
Right.
And there's lots of people around us that are, but don't have the recognition of that.
That's right.
At the end, all man will have the recognition. And I think that's part of the isolation of hell, is just not being in that presence of God, but knowing.
Right.
Having the knowledge that I made this choice for eternity.
Yeah. That would be the essence of perdition.
Yeah, man has free will, so it's that recognition forever. That
my will did this to
how
me.
Much did I
don't you think
up?
Even 1 minute in there would surely change your will?
No.
You would think so, but that's what you're saying.
Boulders on them, and
I know.
Fire come down out of heaven, and they still refuse to repent, but blasphemed his name.
Yeah.
Right.
And I think that that's what is going on right there.
She's talking about a person in their right mind would, right?
Yeah.
If they were in their right mind, they would repent, right?
Yeah.
George MacDonald did an analogy, and he said, in his view, that place in hell is, it will be that continual, every time you heard about the Lord, every time you saw him, every time that, you know, it was presented to you and you turned away, and you turned away, and it's this like isolation of you did it yourself. Because there's no going, oh, it was Hasatan, Mary and my wife.
My parents
and my,
didn't treat me right.
Exactly.
Right.
It comes down to.
Right.
Because it's absolute isolation. I mean, the New Earth, New Heaven talks about fellowship and the Last Supper and the feasts, and it's all about communion and one and celebration. So hell is the actual total absence of total isolation, no fellowship. You're not going to be able to reach out.
It's not
going to
be a big party down
there. You're not even going to get a drop
of
water.
No, that's the old statement you always hear. I'll have a lot of friends when I'm there.
Yep, yep.
But there's another thing that to remember, and that is that there will be a resurrection for them too, you know. And this is, I think this is something that many times when we think about this, people are prone to think, oh, disembodied spirits in outer darkness. But no.
No,
they will be judged in their bodies.
Right.
For those things they did in their bodies, and then have to spend eternity in their bodies, separated.
So it makes me think about the sexual sin, because of what it's with our bodies, and so we kind of see that here. But is it going to be in, you know, that second resurrection that you're going to really see that whole manifestation of actually how that soulish, physical, spiritual all plays together.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Good.
The Bible says sexual immorality is different from others in that mm-hmm. one sinneth against one's own flesh.
It's true.
Mm-hmm. That's so you right. will and experience that pain if a person raped another person or whatever, you know, sexual impurity was done. That person will experience that pain of their actions.
Right. Well, remember that Jesus took upon himself everything, mm-hmm. every curse. Yeah. He became a curse for us and took upon himself the entire curse of mankind mm-hmm. For us. If you reject that, all of that is going to be a part of the final
experience
place.
Of eternity.
Right. Yeah.
All of those fleshly tablets will be able to be read. And like you said,
yep.
ours aren't going to be able
yep.
to be read.
Right.
So there again, knowing the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. And, you know, there's not a one of us here that... I don't believe that there's anybody that I could say I wish that they would go to hell.
No.
That they would be in that. I can't believe... I mean, you know, I can go through the people that have done the vilest things. And, you know, if there's a possibility, I would like to see them...
Right.
Rescued from this, I really would. And that's what our job is, you know.
Well, it's like you were saying earlier about David. One of the things that he prayed in his Psalms about these people that were doing evil to him is, let their names be blotted out of thy book.
That's true.
And I think that if David stepped back and looked at what he wrote, he would be like, no.
Right. I think so, too. And yet, there may be a place where there was a prophetic element in that
right.
where God is actually
yeah.
speaking
right.
this, you know,
yeah.
at that time, you know. Right. So, at any rate, let's go on to verse 12. Yeah. Behold, he says again, I'm coming quickly. And this time he says something a little different. And my reward is with me to give to everyone according to his work. So, what about reward?
Well, what about work?
What about work?
The only work we can do is his work.
Yeah. Are we to do works?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Sure. We're created for works, aren't we? Good works, the Bible says in Ephesians 2:10.
That God has ordained that we should do.
That's right. That we should walk in them. That's
yeah.
right.
So the reward would have to align itself with his work.
I believe we're going to find this is where the Torah comes in. This is where Torah keepers, those who keep Torah, and
mm-hmm.
those who keep the words of this prophecy, are going to be rewarded. And we don't know, it's not revealed what those rewards will be, how they will be. But think about it, you know. If you can think of the best thing you can think of, I can tell you right now, it's not good enough. The best thing you can imagine is not good enough for what God's going to reward you with.
Having the front row.
No. Right.
Henrietta and I get the front row because we're the shortest. So there are benefits.
Well, yeah, but in the front row, it's worse for short people because everything just goes right over your head.
No, because we're right in
now
the light.
Now he's in there.
No, we're right in the light. But how do you know that those rewards that were given, we're not going to want to give back and
that's
place before
true.
The king?
Oh,
that's
too.
True.
We're given crowns, and what we do, we lay our crowns at the feet of Jesus.
Yeah, that's right. Mm-hmm. But maybe rewards may have to do something with assignments, too. You know,
mm-hmm.
the assignments that we will have as we're in his presence. And again, you know, I long ago came out of that sitting on a cloud and strumming a harp, you know. I don't believe that's in our future at all. I believe that I believe the most real place you will ever know will be this place.
Mm-hmm.
What we see here is still a shadow,
mm-hmm.
you know, and there are things that aren't quite they aren't as they really are. We can be deceived on them, but
mm-hmm.
there it's going to be beautiful. It's going to be
hallelujah.
Perfect. It's going to be all shalom.
And it makes me think of the Beatitudes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because as you read those, there's a specific
right.
blessing and a reward, basically, to each of those Amen. Different things.
Oh. Amen.
So is that one of the different things that comes out through that?
Yeah. The Amplified says, I'm bringing wages and rewards.
Nice.
So Amen. That was kind of wages, that's good.
Wages.
That's good, I like that.
Wages and rewards, it says. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's good.
And it keeps reminding me that the wages of sin is death. Mm-hmm. And so he's coming quickly. So might be a good idea for me, John. Not only you, John, but me, John.
All Johns.
All Johns.
Be, like telling people, look, yeah, look,
that's right.
There's somebody named right. Jesus. You have to meet him.
Well, and the word also said faith without works is dead. So if you believe it, then you're going to be doing something.
That's
you're
right.
Telling
that's
people, right. You're going to, you know.
Yeah.
Yep.
I don't know.
That's good. That's true. That's good. Verse 14 says, so you did you have anything on this?
Well, yeah, it's...
Not yet?
Yeah, it's 8 o'clock.
It's too late to start?
Right.
Are you sure?
Yeah, I am.
Okay.
Make it short.
No.
Yes. Well, you started that whole thing tonight.
Let me remind you, he that is unjust, let him be unjust. And then he that tells short jokes.
I see it right here.
Verse 14 says, blessed. Blessed, Baruch are those who do his commandments, that they may have the right to the tree of life. So in other words, it's a desirable thing. You know, we look at people and say, I wonder who he is. Looks like we all are. We're going to have a right to the tree of life and may enter through the gates into the city.
And mine says, those who wash their robes.
Yeah.
Blessed are those who wash their robes.
Right. Right. So outside are dogs. That's kind of a putting dogs in a bad light, isn't it?
Well, so, but remember, we're Gentiles
were considered to
dogs,
be dogs.
So it means outcast.
But there again, you know, sometimes I wonder, you know.
They don't mean cute puppies.
I could see cats. But now we won't get into that.
That's a whole nother thing.
Yeah. All they needed was a crumb and they could have been on the inside.
Right. Dogs and sorcerers.
And Ryan here says dogs, they term applied to all types of ceremonially impure persons. In Deuteronomy 23:18, it designates a male prostitute.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it may be, you know, it may be totally symbolic, you know, all of that. But we do know that sorcerers, sexually immoral, murderers, idolaters, and whoever loves and practices a lie. That's why, you know, we should remind ourselves never, ever, ever lie.
Right.
Somebody was telling the other day of that, hearing a survey that had been done where something like 65 or 75% of people say that they lie from time to time.
The rest are lying.
And many of them, many of them were Christian people saying that they lie from time to time. And it's amazing how this situational ethics that we have going on nowadays, you know, tells you that sometimes, you know, you spare a person's feelings with a lie or something like that. Never.
Also, part of that was that you're more apt to lie in the afternoon than you are in the morning.
Well, so, and good time to start keeping quiet, huh?
Go back to the murderer.
Yeah.
I mean, we're not talking just one who's going to go slit your throat. We're talking somebody who's going to spout something out and murder somebody with their words,
that's good.
Too.
That's good. That's good. That's good. That, in fact, Jesus said that he that's angry with his brother without a cause is guilty of murder. Right. Whoever loves and practices a lie, loves and practices a lie. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify to you these things in the churches. Now Jesus is talking. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify to you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David. Just for a second. The root and the offspring of David. Tell me about the root of David.
Jesus said, or asked the people that he was with, who is Mashiach, and whose son is he? And knowing the Tanakh, they said, obviously, he's David's son. Then why does David write, the Lord says unto my Lord,
sit at my right hand
until I make thy enemies thy footstool.
Yeah.
If he is his son, how can you call him his Lord? Because he's both the root and the offspring and of David.
And you know, I've read that so many times, and I don't think it ever hit me until this time what he's saying here. I am the root and the offspring. I think maybe I thought he was saying complimentary things, but he's really saying, I'm the Alpha, Aleph, and Tov.
Yes.
The offspring of David. The bright and morning star. And then, Chrissy, as you were saying earlier, everything about the Lord is still love and trying to bring people like the Spirit and the Bride. Who's the Bride?
We are.
Say, come. And let him who hears say, come. And let him who thirsts
come.
Whoever desires, let him take the water of life freely. And remember, you know, King James says, whosoever will, let him take. Whosoever desires, wills.
What a manifestation. You know? I mean, we're manifesting that.
Yeah. When we say it, come.
Yeah.
Come. Wow. Come. For I testify to everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book, if anyone adds to these things, God will add to him the plagues that are written in this book. You know, that just doesn't even make sense to me that anybody take a chance, right? How would you even think to add something to this?
Well, because you're idolizing yourself. If your thoughts are above, you know, a lot of people today will tell you, well, I just don't believe that. I believe. And when they say that, yep, they're edifying themselves.
Selves.
Yeah,
that's right.
Well, they've added books. There's like all whole series of books.
The Maccabees,
Catholics have their own extra books there. Every religion.
The Saint what?
Well, and last Sunday you were sharing out of Romans. They held truth in unrighteousness.
Mm-hmm.
And we see that happening all the time.
Mm-hmm.
It's a good thing. It's a good, true thing that we help the poor, that we do this. And we create a welfare state, and we end up paying for things that we don't believe in.
Mm-hmm.
Or education. You brought up education,
mm-hmm.
too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's the truth.
Yeah.
The kids should be educated. We should train children and all that kind of stuff. But it's truth held
in the way
unrighteousness. It's applied in unrighteousness.
Yeah,
and it's, you know, I think it's kind of the same thing here.
Yeah, that's good.
Definitely.
That's good. That is good. And that is, you know, that is a situation. You hear it all the time. You know, you hear people. I've heard politicians, I could name one in particular, that said, well, how could you live life by the Bible? How could you govern a land by the Bible? How could you do that? And then they bring up things like, you know, where children who disrespect their parents were to be stoned in the law, right? How many of you know that?
Mm-hmm.
That was there.
I think it's a good idea still.
I think we'd run out of rocks.
That's just that's right. I wouldn't be here.
But the point is, it still is God's Word.
Right.
And to reject that part of God's Word, mm-hmm. you know, and to say, you know, we don't believe that is God's Word, that that's what God said, you know, it's taking it away, isn't it?
Yeah. Right. That's why in the wild the animals eat their young.
Yeah. That's because they can make another one just like it. But if anyone takes away from the words, God shall take away his part from the book of life. So it's, you know, again, this is eternal, right?
Mm-hmm.
And from the holy city and from the things that are written in this book. He who testifies to these things says, surely I'm coming quickly. Boy, he wants us to know he's coming, doesn't he? Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. That's what we are to be saying, right?
Mm-hmm.
We say, come, 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 Lord Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen.
Amen.
Praise God. Hallelujah.
And Henrietta, if you think about it, it's going to take the tall people longer to get there than us. We're going to get there fast. Okay. I'll tell you all kinds of benefits.
Because you could duck underneath us.
Well, we're shorter. We're going to get there faster.
That's right. Let's
You're
wait.
Not short.
Mm-hmm. I'm shorter than my husband, who's 6'5".
Well, mm-hmm.
So my piano bench is really comfortable. Yeah, it's good size.
I'm not short either.
No, no, you're just right. You're
not. Now, my sister. My
she is a bit vertically challenged, but she's not short.
That's okay. Yeah. I'm horizontally challenged in my mouth, so it's all good.
Oh, bless God forever. Deb, will you pray?
Father, we do just adore you, and we bless your holy name, Father God. And we are just so grateful and so thankful to be a part of what you have in store for us and for the world. Mm-hmm. Use us, Father. Show us where you're at work. Help us to go out and help us to be a blessing. Help us to speak and manifest the words of this book so that others may come to know you, Father.
Yes,
God.
Yes, Father.
Father, just also turn our hearts to Israel, Father, as we in this final day know that they're an important part of what's going on. And Father, just continue to draw us. And I ask this in your precious name.